Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Values Institute and features Scott Temkin of Nest Realtors at John Arrow Group. I think I got that right. Sorry about that. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day in Southern California.
Gotta love that. Now, did I get that right? It's Nest or is it N-E-S-T? How does that work?
Yeah, Nest. Nest. Like a bird's nest.
Like a bird's nest at John Arrow Group.
Right.
Okay. And where are you located?
We're in Brentwood in Los Angeles.
Beautiful part of town.
Fantastic.
Tell me a little bit about, Scott, your background. How'd you get started in the real estate business, and how long have you been doing that?
So about 13 years ago, I was working for a large company, and looked at my wife and said, it's time for change. Why don't we get into real estate, which is what both of our families did separately. So her father was a real estate, residential real estate broker for, and has been continually for 30-something years. My father has been in real estate as an investor for years and have other relatives in the business as well here in Los Angeles. So we decided to go into residential representation, which is what we do and have done steadily. We represent buyers and sellers of single-family homes, condos, and income property.
Great. So you have a wide variety and a good background in real estate. And when you engage a new client, what are the first things that you do with them?
So if we're working with buyers, the first thing we do with them is find out what their needs and wants are. And oftentimes we'll sit down and go over a checklist, and everything short of a helipad, we get it squared away, specifically what they want, whether they're looking for a school or close to the beach or whatever the list contains, and we'll spend time going over what the options are based upon affordability and inventory. If we're working with seller, we talk about what their goals are, what is it that the seller wants in terms of price and timing and that sort of thing, and we'll craft a marketing plan specifically for that property to address their needs.
So it sounds like you do a lot of pre-work with the client to really get to know about them and their needs. But in your market, there are a lot of realtors, right? So what differentiates you, and how do you convey that to your prospective client?
Boy, that is a good question. Yes, there are far too many realtors in this marketplace. There's a real differentiation between someone with a real estate license who has a job to sell a house and a person like me who has a business that we run. We have a profit and loss statement, we have budgets, we have specific targets that we hit for our business and goals, and as a result we follow those like any successful business does. And through that we have a level of professionalism and understanding that our clients come to appreciate. It's like any other professional, an attorney, a CPA, a doctor. It's important that our clients understand that we're more than just somebody who's going to come and, you know, put their house in the multiple listing service and take some pretty pictures. They need to fundamentally understand that we are working for them and representing their interests. And I think that, above anything else, is the key differentiator.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, these days, there's a lot of service providers, and they all say, we'll do this and we'll do that. And in reality, there are some that do what's necessary and others that really do more, the extra
yep.
mile.
That's
so,
right.
So obviously, you're putting yourself in the category of the extra mile. And so what are the extras that you do, for instance, when someone says, you know, I'd really like to work with you, Scott. What else can you do for me than the other guy?
Because our business is 95% referral, it's really, really important that each client has an individualized happy experience. so that they walk away at the end of the transaction feeling like this isn't just a transaction, this is a relationship, and I really need to form that relationship with our clients. So the things that we do above and beyond are we really over-communicate. I think that, that people, when they buy or sell a home, it's often the largest transaction of their life, they need to feel like they're being communicated with and listened to.
It can be a very nervous time for people, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that, that people appreciate when there is that open line of communication, and that, that I don't suppose that they understand what escrow, title, MLS, blah, 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 all the realtor speak is, but I need to bring it to a level where they're going to understand it and feel communicated with. So that that really is the crux of our business and the differentiation, is to really communicate and deliver the information in a timely manner and to follow through with the things that we promise in our listing appointments and in our buyers meetings, that we really need to follow through.
Communication's so important. And Scott, I've done a little bit of research about you guys, and I also know that you're connected. You belong to a group called Provisors that I also belong to, and it has a tremendous number of resources of professionals, attorneys, accountants, financial people, other people that you can connect them to. And that's so important today, to be able to say to people, hey, if you need something, let me know. I've got somebody I can refer you to.
And that's what really makes a difference between a transaction and a relationship. When our clients come to us and say, hey, do you know somebody that can help us with a trust, to set up a trust, for example, I have that resource, and I become a trusted resource for my clients rather than just the guy who's going to, you know, show them a new house to buy. And we really leverage those relationships. We appreciate those relationships, and we continue to cultivate them. And I love to refer people, just as I love to get referrals. And there's no better testimonial. And so groups like Provisors play a very important role in our business, and as does our participation in University of Southern California, our alma mater. I say our because my wife and I both went there, mm-hmm. and we're involved in various other groups, our children's schools, things like that. And those types of things, community involvement is very important, not just for business, but also for our personal lives.
Well, you said something, you've said a couple things that are very critical there, I think. You said, number one, 95% of your business is referral, and you don't get referrals unless you have a relationship with someone. They don't just want to refer a transaction-oriented vendor of any type to anybody.
Right.
So that's a good testament to the fact that you've built relationships, and that's what people want today, so that's great. What advice would you give to those people these days that are thinking of selling or buying real estate?
Very interesting question. People look at this market and say, boy, there's no inventory, it's a seller's market. And yes, that's true. There is extremely low inventory. I've never quite seen a market like this. And as such, sellers, for the most part, are able to name their price and terms. Having said that, interest rates continue to go down or in some cases stay the same, but at the extremely low interest rates, and sort of an optimal time for buyers to buy if, in fact, they're seriously looking. So my advice is to the buyers, hang in there and, you know, take a swing at a property that you like, even if you think it's out of reach, because you never know. And to sellers, my advice is, listen, if you're even remotely considering selling, put the property on the market at a price that you think would make you move. So let's sit down and determine a market value, and we'll determine a make-me-move price, and we'll put it out there, and we'll market the heck out of it. Domestically as well as internationally, and we'll see what kind of action we can get. And if you don't sell it, you've lost nothing. And if you do, we'll find you something great. And there's a lot of international focus on the West Coast now, specifically in LA, and we're seeing an influx of buyers from various different points around the globe that are putting their money in very solid real estate here in LA.
Well, great stuff. We're going to take a short break. I'm talking with Scott Tamkin of Nest Realtors at the John Arrow Group. Just a short break. We'll come back and ask you for a couple of client stories and some tips and ideas and precautions that our listeners can use, Scott. So hang with us. We'll be right back.
Olive Crest is a local nonprofit organization dedicated to preventing child abuse, treating and educating at-risk children, and preserving the family one life at a time. For 40 years, Olive Crest has provided safe, loving homes to at-risk youth throughout Southern California, Nevada, and the Pacific Northwest. There are many ways you can help, including volunteering or becoming a foster parent. Go to www.olivecrest.org or call 1-800-550-CHILD to learn more. That's 1-800-550-CHILD. Call today.
What can you do in a minute? At ExitCoachRadio.com, you can listen to a daily tip, idea, or precaution from over 100 top advisors about how to prepare your business for the future. We upload new one-minute tips at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. daily. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder, we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and one-minute highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. And I'm talking with Scott Tamkin of Nest Realtors at John Arrow Group. And Scott, before the break, we talked about the fact that there are realtors that are transaction-based, and then there are people like you that believe in developing relationships with people, helping them in various different ways. And you gave us a little advice about buying or selling real estate today, but what advice would you give to someone that's thinking about income properties today?
Thanks for asking that question. I was actually reading in the LA Times, they had talked about the fact that the affordability for millennials is changing dramatically, and that they don't plan on buying houses or condos, that they're going to continue to rent, and along with the fact that they are looking for metros where there's public transportation, and they won't be buying cars so much. Having said that, I'm a firm believer that income property will grow wealth over time, and there are parts of Los Angeles where income property is still affordable. The west side of LA doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's a lot of, as I said before, foreign money coming in and looking for multifamily properties, and so they're driving the values up and the returns down. But there are parts of LA where there are still opportunities, and I firmly believe that, particularly in some of the outlying areas, the gentrification will continue to rise, and people will want to rent in those areas, particularly as public transportation expands. If people have some extra money, they're looking to invest in income property, I would say a good strategy might be to join up with others who are doing the same. There are some crowdfunding sites that offer some opportunities to do that, but I would be careful just jumping in and talk to an expert in the multifamily business. I'd be delighted to answer questions if people just have questions about it. And, I think over time it will prove to be lucrative if it's done right.
Well, interesting tips, because we do notice down here in Orange County area, for instance, a huge number of apartments that are going up by companies like the Irvine Company, a major transportation center that's being built. So all to your points, looking at the future trends, a lot of people are saying, I want to rent and I want to walk or take public transportation if I can, which is tough in Southern California. It's a lot harder than some other areas.
It is. What's interesting about those big buildings, the new apartment complexes, is that they have every amenity anybody could want. And so instead of a young person, 20-something, buying a condo and having to maintain it, they can rent in an apartment complex with the latest and greatest technology. And even those older apartment complexes don't have the latest and greatest, it's more enticing sometimes for the younger people to rent in those places. So it's really something to consider.
Now, do those trends also create a a need for people that have maybe bigger houses in the suburb, let's call it area, to think about selling sooner rather than later?
Quite a few of our clients are becoming empty nesters, mm-hmm. and they have large homes, and they have multiple children, and those kids are now off in college, and we're finding that those people are some of the sellers that we're working with because they don't need the big house anymore. And mm-hmm. so a lot of them are selling and downsizing into smaller homes or condos or moving out to places like the Palm Desert. And they're able to bank some of that money, obviously, and leverage it elsewhere. So, yeah, there's big change in demographics that way as well.
Yeah, I guess the question would be, so okay, now there are buyers for those homes, but in the future, with this trend continuing, will it be more difficult to move those homes and further potentially depress those prices in the future? So maybe it's a good idea to get it ready now and take a look.
I think there will always be a market for large homes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially in Southern California, there's plenty of money. People are going to want these types of homes. One thing that's interesting is we have Silicon Beach down here. So Venice and Santa Monica have really become sort of a southern campus destination for a lot of the Silicon Valley industries. Google, Yahoo, that sort of thing are setting up shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so home prices are going through the roof. That's some of the – it's a very small indication of where millennials are able to buy and pay for those prices, but the homes are a lot smaller.
Interesting. So one of the things we like to ask our guests is if you could share us a client story that helps our listeners understand maybe a situation where someone gave you a call and said, help us out, and what was the outcome?
We have the benefit of working with some incoming professors at various departments at UCLA, for example. And we had these wonderful professors from the law school come from another part of the country and wanted to buy a home. They had a certain budget in mind. That budget kept creeping up because what we found for that budget wasn't practical. In the town from which they came, they could afford plenty of house, and here they couldn't. So we looked for about a year and saw things that were out of the area that they were focused on, but they started to narrow in. And I found a property off market that was sold the year before, and these clients had to step up much higher than they thought they had to buy the property. And the point is that there are properties out there that are available for people who can hang in and are willing to look off market, because frankly, while people might not want to have their property marketed to the general audience, they may very well sell in a quiet transaction. And about 50% of our deals last year happened off market, and I think that's very important. And you hear about pocket listings or quiet inventory, or however people phrase it, but the fact is that not everybody wants their home walked through and photographed and that sort of thing.
That's very interesting. So could you give our listeners maybe a couple tips, ideas, or precautions? That might be one of them right there, is don't just assume that what you see is what's out there.
Yeah, if you're a buyer today for a home, a single-family home or a condo, and you're not finding what you want, I would ask your professional choice, your realtor, to see what the options are. Think outside the box. If they can knock on doors or send handwritten notes to particular homes that you've identified that you like, you may want to drive around the neighborhood and knock on the door yourself and just be forthright with people and see if there's any interest. We have clients who have specific homes that they want to live in. They love that house on that street, and I will knock on the door and write notes for them, and I encourage them to do the same. I'll talk to the neighbors around that house and see what the story is and keep communicating with that property owner. And if you're a seller and you're thinking of selling, you don't necessarily need to go on the multiple listing service, and you don't need to have photographs, and you don't need to have any invasion of your privacy, but you can float the property out there as a pocket listing at a price that is a make-me-move price, and you might be able to get some activity. So, to buyers, don't give up hope in this market, and sellers, take advantage of what you got.
Well, that's great advice. I think probably something most people don't think about is driving your own sale or purchase using a professional realtor like yourself to help really create a marketplace and not worry about the general masses out there. Scott, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you and your team?
So we have a pretty good website. It's www.nestrealtors.com. Again, like a bird's nest, nestrealtors.com. And my direct line is area code 310-493-4141. Again, 310-493-4141. I am incredibly responsive and delighted to answer any questions somebody may have regarding, you know, single-family homes, condos, or income property.
Well, you've given us a lot of great ideas, and it's been a fascinating interview. I want to thank you for coming on to the show and hope you'll come back sometime.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I've been talking with Scott Tamkin of Nest Realtors at the John Arrow Group, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
At ExitCoachRadio.com, we're interviewing over 100 top advisors to get you one-minute tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new content daily at 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute. Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.